Welcome back to all our radio entrepreneurs listeners. My name again is Jeffrey Davis. I'm host of the show. And thank you to our real hosts, MTP Software, the leader in sports CRM, and everybody else who helps support the show, all of our sponsors. If you want to learn more, just look up radioentrepreneurs.com and find our website. Learn more, see some interviews, and think about people you know who may want to interview on Radio Entrepreneurs. Our next guest, John Carson, student mentor at the Harvard Innovation Lab. And I know it didn't say the, but I say the.
All right.
I'll put the qualifier in.
Okay.
So tell us about your work as student mentor.
Well, I've been sort of both at the iLab and around Boston with other students and recent students. You know, basically, I try to give them some guidance on how to start out and build their ideas into real operating kind of enterprises.
So why did you get involved with this in the first place?
Well, you know, I started by, it was after I sold two companies ago, called Bidding for Good, after we sold that exit. And so I was on my favorite part of my sort of kind of vocation, which is my post-exit sabbatical. And the Harvard iLab asked me if I would come in and be part of their mentor program. And so I've done that at Babson and, you know, on an ad hoc basis as people have reached out.
Interesting. So you mentioned Bidding for Good. Why don't we get in the Wayback Machine and go through your career and see how you built your entrepreneurial bio?
The journey. All right. So the journey starts in, I'll date myself, it starts in 1976, and I start a company to deliver kegs of beer to fraternities all over Boston. I'm a freshman at Babson, and that becomes a company with endless demand, and so the sort of gating issue was being able to find students who had vehicles and or driver's licenses who could be my delivery teams. We also had a division, probably overstating it, but we had a little under 1,000 of these little 2x2 refrigerators that we rented out to about a half dozen colleges around Boston. And so that was kind of where I got my start. I have worked for two real companies, if you will, brief stints in the bigger scheme of things. One was Boeing, the Boeing company, and the other was McKinsey. at McKinsey,
what'd you do at Boeing? It sounded like Boeing was first. What'd you do at Boeing?
I went into their training program as a sales rep, and so interesting.
You're getting a little bit of scrutiny now.
But yeah. Back then, Boeing was the most respected company in the country. It had basically launched the 747 and was sort of a real beacon for innovation. This was in the early days of the Reagan era, and so the country was kind of coming out of a slump. And so Boeing was a great company to work for. I got a training program, and basically I was in their computer services division, which you could think of as the cloud. So we were in timesharing, and so I sold kind of cloud services to other large and mid-sized companies in the Boston area. I went to Yale and then worked at McKinsey, but I didn't like being the lowly kind of grunt analyst. I thought the partners had the better job, and so while I was in my second year at Yale, I found some clients and started my own little mini version of McKinsey, hired some classmates, and we were focused on small to mid-sized companies, and we set up shop in the Prudential Tower here in Boston. So that was a five-year run, and I sold that to a insurance company called Baker Insurance Companies, and in a sort of was a period of time where insurance companies were buying strategy consulting firms. There were about four of those transactions in about 2.5 years. So I sold that, and I learned the four best words in the English language, and that is the wire has cleared. And so I was on my first real sabbatical, and so I sort of stepped back, thought about sort of kind of life. I went to seminars. I sort of spoke to interesting people, and I ultimately landed on education. And so education I hadn't spent a lot of time thinking about it as a sector and sort of what that could provide in terms of entrepreneurial opportunities. And so we're in the early 90s now, and I started a company called the Family Education Network. Family Education Network became the largest education website on the internet. About 25% of all U.S. schools built their first website on our platform. We had a big teacher site. We had a parent site. We had a kid site. If you've heard of Diary of a Wimpy Kid, that was Jeff Kinney. He was one of our first producers, and he started doing that while he was at Family Education Network. So I sold that in 2000 to Pearson. It was a big number, and I heard my four favorite words again. And so I took about 2 years off, explored retirement, thinking of, I wasn't sure what I was going to do. And by the end, retirement actually, for me at least, was overstated. It really does get a little boring after like 6 to 9 months. And you can only take so many trips, and you can only play so much golf. And by the second year, I was getting antsy, and then we had our first kid, and then I was really interested in getting out of the house. And so I had found a group that was noodling an idea. That idea became Bidding for Good. Bidding for Good became, think of it as eBay for charities. It was the largest online fundraising platform that we use commerce. It was sort of we called it charitable commerce. A lot of schools and charities have auctions. And so if you put it on the internet, you get more bidders and you have a bigger value proposition for sponsors. And so Bidding for Good was a little over a 10-year run. It's raised about $500 million at this point for charities. Generally raises $60 to $80 million a year. We sold that to a company called FrontStream. And again, my four favorite words. And then that was when I ran into the sort of Harvard iLab. And when I was at the iLab, we're now talking 2015, I met some kids at Harvard who had a side hustle that was beginning to get out of control. And they were basically helping families figure out the college admissions process, mostly for Ivy League type schools. And they were sort of at a critical juncture of whether they should drop out, which their parents were not super psyched about, or whether they should go for it. And there was a whole long sort of fall mentoring kind of process. At the end, they decided to drop out, and they asked me to come in as their CEO. And so College Vine, at that point, did about $300,000 in sort of sales, 2015. And so I basically raised money, built out the management team, and got that to about $1 million a month by the time I left early this June this year.
Wow.
And that brings me to today.
So, we don't have a lot of time left, but, what do you look for in someone that you're going to mentor? Because I assume you're looking for someone that you really sort of believe has the right future ahead of them.
Well, I mean, the characteristics of, I think, great entrepreneurs, and there are a lot of good ones, there are less of them are great. So you obviously have to have, it's obviously well known, tenacity and grit. You have to have a vision that is believed in. Less talked about is humility. I think this notion of having a certain kind of humbleness to the sort of challenge of starting and building a company is a big, hard thing to do. And so I think being humble, and when you're humble, you listen. So I would say that would be maybe a separate trait, but listening skills. And then, of course, I would say just raw horsepower. I mean, a lot of hard, thorny problems, and you need, kind of to have a certain level of sort of intellectual kind of capacity to sort of sort through and try to get to the best answer you can.
Great. Going to continue with the Harvard Innovation Lab, I assume.
I'm actually in the process of working on a couple of different ideas, none of which I can really talk about, but I'm also enjoying taking my kids to school and going to their volleyball games.
So you're getting ready to get back up on the horse.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always, my mom worked until she was 75. She was the CEO of a publishing company, and her best years were ages 65 to 75. So that's sort of my mental map. So
it makes me optimistic.
Yeah. Your best year. Yeah, you have experience.
Yeah.
You have energy.
Right.
Those two together.
Some energy, some days.
Exercise.
I do every day. again, we've been speaking with John Carson, student mentor at Harvard Innovation Lab and clearly serial entrepreneur. John, if someone wants to connect with you, you know, maybe get your help, talk to you, how would they find you?
LinkedIn.
Right. Good. Just look for John Carson, C-A-R-S-O-N, on LinkedIn.
Harvard iLab, yep.
John, J-O-N, just like my partner, Jonathan Friedman.
Yep.
Good. Thanks for being on the show today.
Hey, it was great to be here.
Thank you. And we're going to take a break. Remind everybody, this is Radio Entrepreneurs.